the opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Welcome, listeners, to Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School.
This is Bruin Radio News with Isabella Freitas and
Iris Mitchell,
and we are here today with two Lions Club members. Hello.
Hello.
Can you give us your names for the radio, please?
Sure. Mine is Bill Hamilton. I'm the president of the Lions Club.
My name is Joe Donahue, and I'm the past president.
So can you tell us about what the Lions Club is?
Do you want to start, Bill?
Yeah. Lions Club is a service organization. It was set up many years ago, and it was mostly people that like to give a lot of their time and service as volunteers. And it is a service organization, unlike the fraternal orders, like the Elks is a club. It is a fraternal club, which means usually gentlemen's club. So we are more not that in the way that we just serve. And our statement says, Lions, we serve. And what we do with that is we go out in the community, raise volunteer money, and run a club. We've got about 35 members right now, currently on the books. And it's a great organization. It's been around for many years. Helen Keller was one of the people that is one of our mentors or first goal persons. Is there anything I'm missing there, Joe?
No, I just would add that in 1925, Helen Keller charged our Lions Convention with being Knights of the Blind. She was both blind and deaf, and her charge rang pretty true, and so from then on, the emphasis of the Lions Club has been to deal with sight vision problems, although we're also involved on an international basis with measles and diabetes and all kinds of eliminating of preventable blindness. So we like to brag that we're the largest service organization in the world. We have 1.4 million members in 47,000 clubs in 208 countries or nation governments. So it's pretty good sized.
Yeah. And as he said, we mainly help the blind and the blind and hearing. And we have a diabetes camp that kids can go to. We send one or two people there every year, and we heavily support your robotics team. So and other things. So we've given money to the bowling team and the soccer team, and when they've needed it. So, but mainly our main thing is to provide children with glasses. And we do that by a thing. Another question is going to be down the road there a little bit. Camp for kids. So I'll have a little more of that for when you ask that question.
According to a biography of William Perry Woods, the founder of the Lions Club, the organization is a secular organization. What does this mean to you?
Well, I'll answer the secular organization aspect first, and then I want to chat just a little bit about the founding of the club, because when I saw that kind of a question, I thought, Well, we all credit Melvin Jones with being the founder of the Lions Club, so I will go into some detail on that. The term secular sometimes gets all kinds of different meanings, but the major thing with Lions Clubs is that we do not promote any specific religion or lack thereof, and we don't hold religious ceremonies. We do say a prayer, but it's a generic, it's broad enough to include almost all religions. The same is true with politics. We've got some ultra-conservatives and some ultra-liberals in our club, and we don't discuss politics because that can interfere with getting in a project done that we all see needs to be done. So in terms of the founding of the club, there were different clubs that were started way back in 1911. Dr. Woods started something called the Royal Order of Lions. It was a closed, secret fraternal organization like the Moose, the Optimists, the Elks, and some of those. It later was converted to the International Association of Lions Club in 1916 as a service organization. And then they had an annual convention in Dallas, Texas in October 1917. Meanwhile, Melvin Jones had started something called the Business Circle of Chicago in 1913. And it was started as business, but then he thought business people owed their community some service. So he wanted to form a service organization, and he formed the Association of Lions Clubs International. Very similar names. And in June 7th, 1917, had an organizational meeting. Well, the bottom line is they had a third annual convention. They were working together, but the vote at the first annual meeting of them all together in Texas included women. Well, for some reason, Melvin Jones and his group didn't think that was a good idea. It might go back to women's suffrage and prohibition and the fact that we were just about to go into World War I, all of which were playing around in the time frame. And anyway, they reversed it, and in 1919 they actually had a reorganization and said they wouldn't have any women. And the new charter that was formed then named Melvin Jones as the original founder. So it's kind of an interesting history, but your question keyed me to look into it a little bit because I had forgotten that. And as with most organizations, when the history is written by the winner in some kind of a battle for who is going to have what club, Melvin Jones ended up being listed as the founder, and they have Melvin Jones awards and a Melvin Jones fellowship that if enough money is contributed to the International Lions Foundation, which is a 501c3 from IRS standpoint, then if every 1,000 that's contributed, you can get a Melvin Jones award. So quite a few of our members have Melvin Jones awards. Not necessarily because we contributed the 1,000, but our club may have contributed. We used to sell white canes or ask for a donation. We didn't sell them. To increase awareness about Lions. And if you took a white cane and made a donation, then that donation would go to the International Foundation. That's a lot of history, and I apologize for taking so long on it, but I just wanted to be sure that, you know, the biography of William Woods probably does credit him with starting it, and it's actually the name that he started under that we're still operating under. How is that for something fun? There won't be a test.
Can you tell us about the history of the Lions vision screening?
I'll start, and then Lion Joe here knows more about it to the identical parts. But basically what that started a few years ago. I've been in the club for 10 years, so we've been doing it at least far, that far back. Joe will tell you more about that. But anyway, we started it because it was a need for the area to be able to do so. And we used to have a trailer that would come down, and on certain days, usually on a weekend, they try to do all the screening that way. And then we started, about 5 years ago or so, doing them actually in school?
Oh, no, we started in the schools probably 8 years,
Eight years.
But we didn't start with the spot screener until more recently.
Yeah, so anyway, we do screening on all the school, K school, high school, middle school.
What is the Cans for Kids program?
Oh, okay. Cans for Kids, about 11 years ago, was introduced to us by a couple named Don and Vicki Nuss, who have a print shop downtown, Coastal Copiers. And they came to us saying that they had done this for a few years and they just were kind of out of time and wondered if an organization like the Lions Club would be interested in taking it on. And at that time, I think there were two or three containers throughout town, one of them being at Ray's Food Place and another one being at, I believe, the Oaks Lodge parking lot. And we took it on and we said, yeah, and we met as a club and we decided what we wanted to do that with. And because we do eye screening and help pay for all glasses for all children in the Brookings Harbor, Crescent City, in our district, which covers basically Brookings to Crescent City. And so we started collecting the cans. We put out some more bins. We put one over at Fred Meyer's. We put one at a couple of the fire departments. I believe Harbor Fire Department has one, and Windchuck Fire has one. And anyway, we started collecting, and then on Friday mornings, we decided that was the time to get together at Fred Meyer's and turn in the cans. And so we have a sorting party. So in the early hours of Friday morning, you'll find some guys out wearing some wearing vests or hats, doing that alongside the Fred Meyer Can Exchange. And it brings in about, sometimes on a good day, it brings over $1,000 a month in. And not so good days, we still do pretty good with it. So we've been able to afford all the eyeglasses that we've had for the last 11 years. And eye exams paid for by the money from those cans. So the deal is that the children, any child in Brookings is eligible for a full exam and eyeglasses, and that the adults that are in need, we have some needy adults out there and that live in the area for about 6 or 8 months before qualifying, are qualified for a grant of up to $200 to pay for their exam and glasses. So, and usually those folks have also some form of insurance like Medicare. They have Medicare. Medicare will give them, also help them pay for that. So, but it's a great program. It's been absolutely a godsend to everybody that has glasses, and I know that the name throws it because it says Cans for Kids. That says that we're just doing it for kids, but actually we do it mainly for the kids, but it's everybody that needs that. So Joe, is there any?
If I might, I would just build on that the money earned from the Cans for Kids, first priority is youth related things. And the first priority within that is eyeglasses for youth. If we have enough money for that and youth development activities like the robotics or the three, there are three camps. He mentioned a diabetes camp. There is a hearing impaired camp, deaf and hearing impaired, and there's a diabetes camp. Diabetes, blind, and deaf. Three different camps that we try to sponsor a person to go to. The most we've sponsored is three at one camp, and we give a donation if we don't have somebody to sponsor. So we do other things. In the past, we had a calendar fundraiser, which had put a lot of money into a scholarship fund. We're now to the stage, we're still giving scholarships, but we're going to be taking some of this money or earning some additional money somewhere for scholarships, because the money from the calendars is just about gone. But the Cans for Kids program has been very successful. It changed a year ago, January, when the money you get back was 10 cents instead of 5. Many people are now trading their own in. The good thing for us is we only have half the work, because we only have half the cans we used to have, but we're still making almost the same amount of money. We like that. At 7 o'clock Friday morning, when it's raining and miserable and cold and people threw diapers and other unwanted items in with their cans, it gets less than fun.
You mean to say the diapers aren't recyclable?
Actually, they're not. We also get wine bottles and milk bottles, both glass and plastic. We end up, as a public service, taking a truckload to CTR every Friday with those recyclables, but no money for us out of them. But it's just part of the sort. And there is some trash.
What is the Leo's Club?
The Leo's Club was started some time ago, 6-7 years ago now, as I recall.
2007.
And it's basically, it's school-age kids that want to be interested in lions. And we set up a club that we could actually sponsor, and they do fundraising like we do. They do like food collection and cans for kids and other things that they can participate in. However, last year we had a shortfall of people interested in doing that. Either they had other clubs that they needed to meet or other things they were doing early hours of school. We had two members come and have meetings. I think they were like 8:30 in the morning or before school, and we had a good interest for a while there. We had probably 10 kids at any given time. The numbers they like to see is like 20, but 15 kids was a good start, and it went along for a while, but then the interest kind of fizzled out, and we got less people showing up, and we had to decide this year to close it down for now. But there's always a possibility that it can be started up again if we have 10, 15 kids. As I said, we like to have like 18 kids or so that would be interested and set up the thing, because it's set up the same way the Lions Club is. We have Lion president, we have a Leo's president, we have a Leo's vice president, Leo's secretary, Leo's treasurer, and they run their club solely by themselves. They run the finances, they run the checking account, they set up the fundraising, and they come and help us whenever we're having a fundraiser. We used to have something called Doughboys that we sold at the Azalea Festival, which was very popular, and they helped us sell those by selling water and soda. We would give them the proceeds from the water and soda and coffee to go into their coffers. and then the doughboys would go into the lion's coffers. So, but it's a very doable thing. It's very very well known throughout the country. So we have Leo clubs popping up all over the place. So, Joe here was one of the advisors, and I'll have him tell you a little bit about what went on in those meetings.
We actually chartered the Leo Club back in 2006, or I think it was 2006. The yeah. first batch of officers were 2007.
Yeah.
And in 2015, we disbanded it and moved the money. There was money in both the Leo administrative and the Leo activity account. And we're holding it in our account under a youth development category. So it's still there. Getting Leos that are passionate and have ideas for projects and have the time. We started trying to go to the leadership classes. We tried going to some of the other groups. The kids who are the most passionate are usually the busiest. So when it's softball season or volleyball season, you know, you might have had 8 people at one meeting and then some sport starts and you've got 3 at the next one. We had a lot of struggling to keep the meetings going and to keep the clubs functioning. There's probably 3 or 4 that were in Leo's that are still around, but they're probably all graduating this year, I believe. It's not impossible to get it going again, but it takes a dedicated Lion that's passionate and committed. It helps to have a dedicated person in the school system because that helps to get posters up and to facilitate working with the students, even sometimes meeting in the school. And then it takes a group of students that are really gung-ho about service projects. And it's hard to compete with the other activities of the school. You guys are probably busy sometimes. I don't remember seeing any of you to join the Leos. Anyway, that's a brief history of it. If you have specific questions about it, I can give you more.
Talk to us about the signed Robert G. Heft flag that was presented to the K School. Who was Mr. Heft?
You don't know? You want me to answer that?
Yes.
Okay. Bob Heft was a Boy Scout in his junior year in high school, and his history teacher said, you know, let's do a history project. And you know how projects are, you're all gung-ho and come up with something. Well, he'd been putzing around with the flag, and he knew that Hawaii had joined, and we had 49 states, and Alaska was about to join and become 50 states. So he decided to design a 50-state flag. Just out of curiosity, he has passed away, but he actually has a designed one for 51, just in case Puerto Rico or somewhere else becomes another state. He was fascinated by it, so he actually designed the 50-state flag. His teacher, as teachers are knowledgeable, gave him a B-. He didn't like that. And so he wanted to know what he could do to raise his grade. And the teacher said, well, the day you're invited to the White House to deal with that, then I'll give you an A. Well, this kid wasn't going to take no. He worked at it and worked at it until he was standing next to Eisenhower in the White House, had a picture taken, proved to it, and the teacher decided he'd reluctantly have to give him an A. So that's who he was. He was passionate about getting a good flag with stars, and it is his flag that we fly every day now, the flag that he designed. Now, there are other people claim they were the ones that did 50 stars, because we could all figure out a way to put 50 stars that comes out the same, but he donated the signed flag to the Doris Lions Club because they were building 150-foot-tall flagpole to fly the largest flag that had been flown up to then. And they did that. They raised the money, they built the flagpole, and they flew the flag. And he donated, I believe, 10 signed flags to them. So that's where your flag came from, and that's who Robert Heft was.
And I don't mean to defer off of that, but we mentioning of Boy Scouts, and we should let you know that we are the sponsor of both the Boy Scout Troop 32 and the Venture Crew 32. And we have been doing that for several years. I'm honored to be the representative from the Lions Club to take care of that. So we are able to buy each participating scout Boys Life magazine for the year. And we also support a you've heard of the flags, Flag Avenue, or the flags that go out on holidays. They also are do that as a fundraiser and run that as well. So we're very proud of our scouts. We've had several courts of honor, and we've gone to several of them, and we present national letters from the Lions and certificate from our club to each of the scouts. So I just wanted to tag that on to the flag part of it. So
and I knew he'd get scouting in. He is our scout, right?
Yeah.
And we're very proud of the scout troop here. Bill can give you the statistics, but I believe that per capita, they've had more Eagle Scouts come out of this this troop than pretty much anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah. In the state, we actually are ahead of most groups in the state with that. We've had in 25 years, I think we've had 19 Eagle Scouts. So, or actually, there's 31 of them now that we've put through 31 Scouts in.
So, the Lions Club began running its own scholarship offering this year. Can you tell us more about how this came about?
You want me to take that?
Yeah.
We were working through the Brookings Harbor Scholarship Foundation to award scholarships in the past. In the past, we didn't feel like they were missing anyone, but it turns out that about 2.5 years ago, they decided that they could only give scholarships to Brookings Harbor High School students, not to homeschoolers or Christian school students. The Lions Club feels that any student should have the right to apply and maybe get a scholarship. So last year we ended up funding one through the Scholarship Foundation and for a homeschooler that we felt was deserving of a scholarship. And so we don't want to do two because we'd have to raise more money. So we talked to them, and they aren't ready to change and include anyone that is a student in the district. Rather, they only want to include those that are attending Brookings Harbor High School. So not to leave anyone out and to have it available to Christian school students and homeschool students, we decided to do our own program. And this is the first year we've done that. We've selected a student to receive the scholarship. We've also taken over the application for continuing scholarships when students have gone off to school and are attending. We have criteria that deal with, we'd like it to be in a medically related field, because that's the interest the Lions have with our interest in preventing blindness and associated diseases. And we would like them to have good grades, but the other thing we like and want to see in applications, and we have an application that's available for seniors, and it was at the guidance counselor's office and at different places around town, plus online. We want to see what kind of service the person has been doing, how involved they were in the community, and whether they were volunteering time, because
we're pretty passionate about the We Serve aspect.
Does the club plan on being a part of the upcoming Azalea Parade? Could you give us a clue to what you'll be doing in the parade?
Sure. We are going to take a different role this year. In the past, we've had a float, and we've gone through with banners, and our oldest elk, George Fernandez,
no, has been... Oldest lion
in the... I'm sorry, it slips out once in a while. I'm in the Elks Club, too, but... Oldest Lion, George Fernandez, he's been in the club in Lions for 64 years and marking this year. And we didn't have enough people to put together a float. So in essence, we are going to place ourselves in the Oasis Park, which is a recent park that we took over and have been keeping it up, you know, kept the maintenance up on that. I think that's another question for a little later. Anyway, we're going to be set up at the Oasis Park, and we're going to have either coffee and cocoa, or punch or something to drink, and have some kid things, and we've got a raffle for a quilt, and also a chance to win a jet boat trip. So we'll be carrying those along, but also mainly introducing the public to the Lions, Brookings Harbor Lions, what we do and what they can do. If they would like to join, or if they'd like to help out, or we take all help from anybody and everybody. So, but anyway, it should be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of people standing there watching the parade pass by, and in the next few years, you'll probably see us back in the parades. We do support the Azalea Festival, and we do believe in that parade. We're very, very supportive of it, and all the activities that go on. So, one of the park itself was originally a business in town, and it had a fire and it burned down, and they didn't really know what to do with it, so they kind of fixed it up and put a couple park benches on it. And then the city of Brookings designed adopt a street. We kind of took that action, and we revigorated that program, and we took on the park, which means all the maintenance and all the decorations and keep the trees watered and the plants watered, and do some cleaning up of it in general. So, very nice park. We put in a lending library in the park. It's a wooden box that's got books in it, and people have come and exchanged or given books or taken books. It's a beautiful exchange, and so far everybody's taking care of that. At Christmas time, we decorated the park. We did have, you probably read in the paper, we did have a little vandalism, unfortunately. And but the community, our community is so great. I mean, once that happened, the hardware store, Ace Hardware, across the street, just jumped in and said, hey, we'll give anything you need to replace at our cost. And donated a couple more extension cords, and they were right on the spot, and so did the community. Wild Rivers Foundation came up with a couple $100. And that's how great our community is. It's, you know, if we have a crisis like that, like this community is so great about jumping in and helping out, you know. So I did a program similar many years ago called the Red Shirts. We gave packages to soldiers in Afghanistan, And same way, people would walk up to me on the street, seeing me in my red shirt, and just hand me $20 for postage. Here's postage. Here's for some peanuts. Here's for a coffee, whatever. They just poured in, and they just every day I was getting receipts. And Christmas Day came. We had the money to send packages, and some lady stepped up and said, I'm going to write a check for all the postage this year for these guys. So everything you're sending them, I'll write you a check. And she sat there and wrote a check for all the postage for our Christmas and July program. But anyway, back to, I'm kind of getting off the beaten path here, so.
You want me to add a little on the park?
Sure.
I just want to mention that our lion Bill is also a city councilman, so sometimes he starts looking at the broader picture of the city, which is good. We like having him on the city council. The Oasis Park and our adoption of it, as well as if you've been over by Kidstown lately, you'll see a funny looking lion that you get to drink out of. Those two things were adopted by our club this last year as our legacy project. Because Lions was 100 years old, they encouraged clubs to do something called a legacy project. We had been looking at trying to find a park to work on and maintain, and we'd also been looking at how can we help with Kidstown. So the end product were those two things. So they're a pretty sizable contribution to the community. And we look forward to the Oasis Park becoming kind of a center of downtown. And that's why, because we were short people to do the parade and hand out candy, which we're also getting to where we're not sure handing out candy is really supportive of the health kinds of issues that we want to promote. So some of us figured we'd be run ourselves ragged trying to do it all. So we will be at the park and trying to familiarize everybody with the whole concept of the legacy project, the park, and the things that Lions Club does.
Yeah, so basically what my note mentions here is we're going to have a meet and greet Saturday, May 26th from 9 to noon at the park, and that's through the parade. So we encourage people to come and bring a chair and sit in the park and enjoy the parade. So we'll have containers out there for cans for kids, and if depending on the weather, if it gets warm enough, we may have soda cans or iced tea cans or something, and stuff for the kids to do. I understand there'll be a couple clowns there clowning around. So, but anyway, yeah, that's basically. I should say that Lion, Joan, and Jenna are our two major contributors to the park. They've done the majority of all the work, along with Lion Joe and other Lions members that can get around helping with rock and placement of plants and everything. So it's been a really team effort. But Joan and Jenna, who were both on vacation, unfortunately won't be there for the parade, but they are primarily the main people behind the operations at that park. So
what else is the Lions Club up to?
Well, I'm certainly glad you asked that question. I have a whole list of things that we are up to. We continue to recycle glasses. Many of you have heard of this. Through our foundation, we collect glasses that are used. Someone passes away or has old glasses they no longer use because they don't fit their eyes. We collect those donations. Just as an example, last year we collected 2,063 eyeglasses and 497 eyeglass cases, 52 hearing aids, and 20 cell phones. We recycle all of those through the foundation. Eventually, the glasses can be taken to Mexico on mission trips. And as of 3 years ago, they passed a law and they now can be redistributed within Oregon.
And so sometimes people can get glasses for nearly nothing that are recycled that we've collected from somebody else. So that recycling program, it's ongoing, it's continuous, but we're very proud of it. And almost every Lions Club that I'm aware of does that. We also, the last 2 years, have had a peace poster contest for from 11 to 13 year olds. We want to continue that. We'd like to get 100 peace posters, and eventually we'd like to win. It's an international peace poster contest, so students from all over the world compete, and there's usually a theme of it, as well as being a peace poster, a theme to go with it, like the future of peace was last year's. There's different things like that. So we will be working with the Azalea School to do that, and I wanted to mention that. We volunteer at the Kite Festival and direct traffic. We work at the Art Festival and put out our cans. The Veterans Fest, we go the back to school breakfast. We put together a little sack for all the new staff, not just teachers, but all of the new staff, with some goodies. Of course, we put information about our Lions Club and applications in there too. We do have done work at the Oktoberfest the last couple 3 years. We work in community kitchens. We help with the Nature's Coastal Holiday setup, and we actually are a sponsor of that. So we spend $250 sponsoring that, as well as labor from those of us that hang lights. We do a food bank drive. We ring bells for the Salvation Army. We have a cherry tree in Christmas time, one of those, to raise money and to make awareness of lions. This last year, it had a whole bunch of little lions on it. We do a flags for first graders. We gave out 120 flags to first graders, and we talk a little bit about the flag in honor and respect of the flag. And we've been very impressed, because often the first graders are ahead of us in terms of the flag. They know the pledge, and they do all kinds of things, but the goal is to pass information. So well, let's see, we participate in the smart reading program. I'm even one of the smart readers. The school screening we've talked about. Safety City, Bill's been with Safety City for I don't know how many years now.
Yeah. Been about 10 years. So.
And we put money towards Dogs for the Deaf, the Community Baby Shower, the Boy Scouts, the Elks Christmas Baskets, the Muscular Dystrophy Car Show. We donate personal money every month to the food bank. And then we mentioned the three camps, Oral Hall, Gales Creek, and Camp Talalawa. I think that may be most everything else I wanted to mention. I didn't want to leave. We do some special things. We did approve up to $5,000 for someone who's having some inner ear surgery, major items like that. And we work through the Oregon Foundation for cataract surgeries for people. They average about $3,000, and we end up getting them for people with no cost for the individual. And sometimes it doesn't cost our club, it only costs the foundation. But we do donate money through the foundation so that they will help us with that care. I have some little brochures that I will leave for your information. They're old. They show, well, one of them shows me as the president, which was last year. One shows Pam as the president, which was 2-3 years ago. Now she would be going back in as the president. I know you originally had said you might want to know about officers, and we have a whole list of officers: president, two vice presidents, secretary. We actually are using two secretaries, treasurer, three directors. We have something called a lion tamer, which worries about a bell and a gavel and doesn't let people steal our banners and flags. And a tail twister, which tries to make jokes and collects happy bucks at our meetings and can theoretically fine somebody if they get out of hand. We've de-emphasized the fining. It used to be that people got driven away from the Lions Club because of too many fines. So our friendly friends in the Rotary, they still collect fines, but and we work with the Rotary and with other organizations. We tried in 2007 to do a summit of all the nonprofits, and we had over 100 different entities represented in the community, counting, you know, churches, charitable organizations. And we had a directory built, and for 3 years we maintained it. The library's trying to do that to some extent now. It was, the chamber was doing it before us, and they had sort of given up. It's very hard to keep track of who to contact and who can help you for different things. So our club likes to be an information source. Now, if that doesn't generate any questions from you guys, I rattled off a bunch. What else you got to ask?
What is the Stuff the Bus program?
Do you want me to take that?
Yeah.
Well, it started, I believe, by the Rogue Credit Union. It's now, I believe, Curry Radio is partially the sponsor. And it takes everybody in the community, but they try to get organizations such as the Lions Club to help collect supplies. The school district has come up with lists of the kinds of supplies they need so that we're not collecting, you know, yellow tablets if nobody uses yellow tablets, and that if they have a specific kind of number two pencil versus number four that is preferred. And then we take those lists and at some store we will pass them out. The stores like that because then they're selling a product. It's not just asking for money, because all the stores in town have gotten tired of the charitable organizations with hands out asking for money because they don't get the money. But if they sell a product that's being asked for, then everybody wins. So it's pretty popular in terms of the stores and with the organizations. And again, we have been one of the larger organizations that have been involved with it.
That was Lion Club members Joe Donahue and Bill Hamilton. Thank you both for coming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us. It's been wonderful, and we look forward to another opportunity to do the same.
You've just listened to an episode of Bruin Radio Interviews, an hour-long interview show brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.